Welcome to Mind Shack episode 2. Mind Shack is an African podcast focusing on leadership, focusing on society issues and psychology from Africans who humbly aim to be African leaders across the continent through doing hard things. My name is Jean-Claude. I am Zimbabwean and I'm based in South Africa. I am joined by
Letabo from South Africa, and I'm joined by
Christina from Kenya, and I'm joined by
Athena from Mauritius.
Hey, Athena, welcome to the episode. You weren't there the last time. It's nice to have you.
Yeah, it's really nice to be here.
So our topic for today is being woke. Definition is being an individual that is alert and aware of social justice. To have eyes open and bringing others together to see the social injustice and discrimination. So in light of that, I have a question. Do you have to be someone that is already making an impact or just be someone that's alert and aware in order to be called someone woke?
I think you just need to be in a state of awareness. I don't think you have to make an impact to be called woke, because a lot of people aren't even aware that they're supposed to be aware. So just starting there, I think, should give you that label.
I believe being woke is more of a mindset thing. If you know you're being woke, compared to just living around, you can't do anything. You can't have actions without the mindset behind it. So the mindset comes off, the actions come off after the mindset. So I think the order would be your mindset and your attitude, and then your actions.
Ah, okay. So essentially being woke is the mindset, right? But yes. What if you're not doing anything about it? Like, you just woke from your definition, right? You just know stuff. Are you still woke? Yeah, right?
Oh, tricky.
Yeah.
I actually think they should play a part. Like, they should be hand in hand. If you're going to be aware, you can no longer claim that ignorance is bliss, you know? Like, now you kind of have to, act on it. It may not be huge acts, like, where you're at a rally protesting, but I definitely think your like, what you speak on or the way that you treat other people should be in alignment with what you say you believe in. Otherwise, that's just hypocritical, in my view.
So a bunch of us are busy walking around thinking we're woke as hell, and we're not really doing much with the information that we have. And so technically, we're part of the problem. Christina?
Yes, definitely. Actually, I was looking at woke history, and it initially became a thing because people were using it with the Black Lives Matter hashtag. But then as time passed, it actually started to become a meme where people were making fun of people being woke by saying that, yes, you're a know-it-all, you know everything, you know, we're so sorry, you're better than us. That's kind of the energy that woke has been given now. So it's kind of a negative thing. Or people use it with jokes where it's like, oh, I just found this coupon deal, stay woke, finesse the system, that kind of thing. But in reality, the history of it was actually to communicate to at least the Black people in America that there was a lot of social injustice happening to them and they didn't even realize it. So I definitely think over the years it's been warped, like you said.
Do you feel as though you face social injustices daily? What sort of social injustice do you feel like you face, and how does it affect you? Maybe I can start. What I feel is that within South Africa, for a long time now, there's been this element of xenophobia. And so being a Zimbabwean living in South Africa and not being able to speak any of the local languages as yet, it's been a little scary at some points, particularly because of the fact that some of the leaders whenever these breakouts of xenophobia happen, have been the reason that it's happened. So they have said something, they have initialized and enticed people to start beginning these xenophobic attacks. And it's generally scary. Is there something like that that you faced?
Definitely. I think there's colorism in Kenya, and also racism. But okay, just let me know if this is a thing. When black people are racist to black people. Yeah, like when someone has a perspective, let's say, for example, the white race is more superior than the black race, so they treat the white race better than their own fellow black person. I'd be like at the shops and I want to buy something. This was before Corona though, because, you know, so I would be in the shops and like somebody would cut in front of me, or the teller will give more attention to let's say this Caucasian person in front of me, although it was very, very clear that I was in the line. So some of those injustices were like, oh, or like I'll be at a restaurant and even like the waiters, you've been sitting there for like an hour or even half an hour and they haven't yet come to talk to you, and yet the person who came after you has already received their food. And I'm not trying to be this person who has like this racial lens all the time, but it's very evident because it's a mature Caucasian man who will probably tip him more than me, who's a student and who's so freaking broke. So it's like that level of social injustice I definitely experience all the time, and it's sad that I've kind of just accepted it to be my country.
You're so right.
Patricia actually has something similar in Mauritius. So in Mauritius, you have this discrimination. You can say, even though we're a multicultural country, you still see that sometimes Caucasians have more advantages. I don't know if it's due to history, but when you go into the shop, you can see Caucasian people, a white male Caucasian, he's 40, who can cut you. And I don't know what's going on with them, because personally, I just find it's very offensive. I mean, you're here spending your time, energy. I don't know if how this is accepted by everybody now, how it's become so common that no one's questioning it.
Maybe those are the effects of colonization, if I'm being honest. Colonization is, like, we still see the effects of it, even though, you know, we're not in times where we're slaves. I think people still have that slave mentality of the whites are more superior, except now it's in just, like, everyday actions. So I think in that way, we kind of need to start educating ourselves a bit more to understand that, that doesn't have to be the dynamic. I mean, everyone can be treated equally because we are all equal.
Because what happens with where I am is more is that it'll be a black person who puts you down more than a white person. Mm-hmm. So you're going to a store, a black security guard will follow you throughout the store because they believe you're going to rob somebody. Or as you're walking, you'll be stereotyped by black people in a certain way. And I think it also leads to this other thing, because I think, especially in my generation, well, in South Africa, I guess, and especially in the middle class part, you'll live a certain life because you live in white suburbs, and then your parents or other people will say to you, why are you not being black enough or anything like that? And I know that one puts a lot of us down.
Do you think it's because of the fact that they are not being woke, as in they're not realizing their actions? So they're pretending of being woke, but they are not doing the right thing.
I think it's lack of education. And I don't think there'd be work, because a lot of the people that would do, and I think it is contradictory, but a lot of them would say they work, but aren't. And a lot of them are just not educated about it. So they would go on their experiences, but not try to understand our experiences. So they don't educate themselves on how we also live.
With my story, I feel what you just said, Letabo, kind of alludes to what I was going to say. Like, the other day, excuse me, this story might be a little long, but the other day, I was driving, and let me start by prefacing that I needed to go somewhere. We're in this pandemic, right? I needed to go somewhere. And ideally, you're supposed to move around alone or with one other person at most within your cars, just, you know, for obvious reasons. And I left with two other people because the two other people had places they needed to be themselves at the same time. So it was convenient that we left together. So the three of us headed off to where we needed to go. And while we're driving, the police happened to be next to us. I noticed them ahead of us. And what I didn't notice is that apparently they were just staring at us. They were staring at us. I just was driving. I did not really notice. And then when we got to the traffic light, the next traffic light after we passed them, they stopped next to us and decided they're going to pull us over. So they pulled us over, and the police officer walked up to the car, and he asked me who I am. I told him who I am. I then asked, have I done something wrong? Because police are actually supposed to tell you why they're pulling. Anyone who's pulling you over that has the authority to is supposed to tell you why they're pulling you over before they do. And he didn't really have a response. After that, he asked all three of us to get out of the car. And all three of us proceeded to step out of the car. And he went on to attempt to pin our stories against one another. So how he was doing that was that the two of them, the two police officers, they started speaking to me as the driver. One started speaking to me as the driver, then the other one started speaking to the passenger. And they asked us where we're going and why we're going there. And I explained my part of the story. We're going, at the time I was going to fetch my laptop that was damaged. And then secondly, I was also going to the bank for my brother who was in the car. He needed to go to the bank. So my brother went and told the other guy the same story. So we get back to our circle. They kind of pulled us apart. Get back to our circle, and the police officer who was talking to my brother is like, my brother said you're going to the bank. And then the other police officer is like, and you said you're going to fix your laptop. And then as I'm about to speak, this police officer shoves me on the shoulder. He shoves me because he feels as though I'm defending my brother's, like, I'm trying to align the story. Now I'm speaking over to correct the issue. He shoves me. And the first thing I said to him is, I said two things to you. I told you that I'm going to fix my laptop and I'm going to the bank for my brother. Those are the two things that I told you. And I kept on saying that to him as he was just muttering away, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And eventually he stopped. He stopped muttering that, I stopped too. And then, long story short, they proceeded to search the car. They searched the entire car, the boot, everything. They searched everything. They searched us too. Searched us through and through. And then the story ended with them trying to say, like, he was now saying, why didn't you drop your brother at the bank first and then go to the place, to the laptop place? Like, and I was like, logistically, that just doesn't make sense. Like, we're going a further distance to get my laptop that needs to be fixed, and then come back to the bank. If I leave them at the bank, they're going to be there for way longer than they need to be. So, yeah. Eventually, so I tell him that, and then he starts saying something like, if you think I'm crazy, just tell me I'm crazy. And then at that point, I could just tell he's like, the goal of them stopping us was literally to pin our stories against us and use some and find some kind of enjoyment in having a reason to send us to the police station. So anyway, in light of that, I just I feel like that's an example of social injustice that happens, that recently happened, at least to me.
You know what freaks me out about today's world Maybe it's just the media that I've been ingesting lately, or the way that I'm so in tune with American news. But as I was hearing your story, JC, I was just thinking, at what point is this police officer going to assault him? Can you believe that's the world we're living in today? Like, where we're afraid of the people who are supposed to be protecting us?
Yeah.
Like, I was literally just sitting there, like, I'm just waiting. Is he gonna, like, you know, is he gonna hit him? Is he gonna, like, threaten him?
Yeah,
just, it makes me so sad, because it's like, as young people, how are we supposed to trust people who are actually out to get us? That's crazy, especially in Africa, where at least I know some, I'm not going to say all, some of police officers are corrupt and are really just trying to have their own personal gain.
I mean, the coverage is always America, Europe, Asia, but it's never Africa, where we are always, you know, here with corrupted, like, corruptions, with policemen just assaulting you, but there's no coverage telling all of us how exactly it's happening and how often it's happening. It's kind of crazy.
I just wanted to leave a few words before I leave. It's something that my mom used to say to me, is that I should understand my power as a Black person and the power you hold, and to use that power for good things.
Now, those are really good words. That's cool, dude. Please head out. Thank you. Those are really
thanks, Chance.
Those are really important words, and it's just scary to think, like, in this nature. Like, well, first of all, like, when I think of that situation of mine, like, a few things come to mind. Firstly, those guys don't care. Like, for the life of them, they don't. You know, they live a certain kind of life. Like, these assumptions too. I hope I'm not stepping out of line by making these assumptions, but I feel as though they live a certain kind of life, and as in within, like, they're limited. It's been always a thing. People that are in service in the country are paid too little, and so they live a certain kind of life, and they have challenges within that life that they may not have means to voice. And so, like, there's a whole lot of wrong that's already, they feel, is being done to them, and they need to put it out on someone else. And the being woke, I feel like a big part of it is self-awareness, practicing, understanding yourself, and also understanding how other people are being affected, understanding who you are, understanding the things that exist and how they're affecting who you are, and who else is similar to who you are and how they're being affected.
As you say that, I feel educated in that way, because I'm also not being moved to their schools. That's also something I can say. I'm not looking at how the government aren't supporting them enough, so they resort to, you know, corruption and fear tactics. So, yeah, being woke isn't just about recognizing your own injustices. It's also about recognizing other people's, and, you know, wherever you can, helping out or just showing people that you're empathetic and you care.
So another thing that comes to mind for me then is there's an anti-woke culture that exists. People feel it's an obnoxious movement. Being woke is an obnoxious movement because it forces people to categorize or racialize everything they think about. What are your thoughts on that? I'm playing a little bit of a devil's advocate, and I'm curious, though, what are your thoughts on it?
Personally, for me, I feel like being woke is nice, but also being woke is overwhelming. So, in the sense that you are getting information everywhere, I understand why exactly the anti-woke culture is going on. So, what I mean by this is, personally, when I learn new languages, so when you learn, let's say, Mandarin or Spanish, you're learning new words, but it's really hard to get used to it, as you're not usually, or you wouldn't normally interact with it. So just being woke now is just questioning the authenticity of everything, should I say? Because we know now that nowadays, We use social media for a lot of advertising, and we know quite well that the whole being woke thing is on social media nowadays, with the memes and everything. So I don't know if you just using companies such as Pepsi or even Nike using the whole being woke is actually authentic or not.
I think honestly, being woke to me, I have no issue with, you know, the being woke movement, the initial one. I think what bothers me is that some people who claim to be woke now become condescending to others who aren't on the same level of enlightenment as them. That's now the issue that I have. I think it's very brilliant that we're encouraging people to be educated and to enlighten themselves. But I don't think there's any competition. You know, there shouldn't be like, oh yeah, I know more about this topic, so like what you're saying, like you're ignorant, nah. I think there doesn't need to be that level of, there doesn't need to be a hierarchy. Educating people is educating people. There doesn't need to be a hierarchy. And that's the issue that I have with the being woke movement, is that sudden there's a hierarchy on how much you know, and yeah, people don't know anything, and it's just long.
I think the movement is literally made to rather take us out of our boxes and allow us as people to take on challenges and express ourselves, express our talents, express our skills in a way that's interesting. Like, I've been listening to someone, I kind of don't want to share who it is, it's Kanye West, but he has a definition in the way he speaks of being woke. For him, being woke is being alert and aware of indoctrination. So things along the lines of mass media, potentially conspiracies, things of that nature. He's a bit of an extreme, controversial individual, but yeah, I like the thought, the general idea of it, because he's pushing out the idea that you need to stop yourself from being accustomed to things that are said to be normal, accustomed to practices that are said to be normal, but they're not actually normal. And that, I think, resonates with what the idea of being woke is. Their ways were made to think they're, and this is a group of us, and their ways were made to conduct ourselves, their policies and history that has affected us in a way that if we don't consciously realize and try to make an impact ourselves, might leave us at a back step, at a step behind for a long time. So yeah, that's part of the way I think of it.
You know how you mentioned Kanye West and how people are now following him and following what he's doing? But do you think that because celebrities like him are insinuating that being woke is this, just being contradictory to everything, is what's making people stop the whole movement of being woke?
Look, for me, the way I understand it is that this person is speaking from their personal experience. They're speaking of what has made them feel like they're someone that's out there doing things that are out of the status quo in a positive way and in a successful way.
Mm-hmm.
So when they share their message, speaking from personal experience in the way they've done things, people's misunderstanding of that is what the issue is. I feel like he's sharing a message based on what has made him, like I said, just made him who he is, brought him the success and the impact he's having on other people, positive impact. And so if it's said in a way that's like, yeah, I'm open-minded, I speak the thoughts that I have, if I'm feeling oppressed, I speak out. If someone else misunderstands that, that's on them. That's the way I take it. That's on them. They're misunderstanding it. And yeah, there's potentially a whole movement that's now being misunderstood. But this is part of the game, like part of last week's episode on feminism. Like, when you speak about these things, when these movements are happening, there's a lot of contrary thoughts. There's a lot of like kicking at the ankles to try stop the movement. The movement in its true understanding and pureness is a pure and good movement.
All right, okay.
Okay, so yeah, I think it's important, like in Africa, we have a bunch of challenges. Part of the university we go to, African Leadership University, there covers some of what are global challenges, particularly, they call them global challenges, but they're particularly facing African challenges. And I think it's important for us as individuals to try seek out an understanding better what these challenges are. These challenges are, I feel as though, like the head and the social injustices that we face on a daily fall beneath those. So if we understand part of, in a way, understanding what the root cause might be, it's going to help how we create a solution for the social injustices that we face. So in light of that, I thought it would be good to mention 6 African activists and then ending off with how we can educate ourselves against being woke. One, so guys, feel free to just like throw in your input as I go. The first one is a young lady named Zuleika Patel. This is a 15-year-old South African who got a viral video of herself protesting how her high school's policies against natural hair are rubbish, basically. And she went extremely viral. And
I love that.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is a 15-year-old South African. Like, you know, talk about like being able to have a lens and see these things.
The impact that she can have even when you're young, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's what we all said.
Wokeness has no age. It has no age.
Real thing. That's a real, real thing. There's things you're passionate about, the things you're interested about, and you just need to, like, some people just have it. There's no age to it. Some people are just born with caring.
Right? Like,
yeah, caring about social injustices and what should be corrected. So secondly, there's a lady named Angeline McCore. She is a young lady campaigning for health and well-being of women because she was nearly married at 14. So she's pushed along this hashtag called End Child Marriage, and that's what she's devoted her life to. Isn't that insane?
Are you saying at 14 she was going to get married and start have a whole different life?
Yeah. Oh. This is like, in Africa, we've faced too many cultural and tribalistic, ritualistic type thoughts, which are socially wrong too. And so, yeah, still to this day, people...
But question. I'm going to be the devil's advocate. Listen, I'm not saying I support it at all. Even I'm against child marriages, but social injustices, to whose standard? Am I going to be that person? Yes, I am. Are we going to actually take the time to understand why these things are the way they are traditionally? I definitely think they shouldn't be applied to today's world because, you know, we live in a modern society. But I also don't think people should demonize people until we understand why. But yes, please, God forbid any child marriages, like... You don't even know and you want to pick your subjects. You already have a husband. Oh, my days.
Your thought there is quite right. Because it's something too, it's a little too crazy to just be a thing that they do. There must be some good reasons behind what they do in the decisions.
Yeah. I hope so.
People are 14. Did I say good reasons? Yeah, I hope so too. Reasons.
Well, I'm just happy that she can be an advocate for, you know, women's rights.
Yes.
And, you know, the attitudes of some parents, if it's not for good reasons.
Mm. And then here's another one. This is a Nigerian lady. Her name's Elizabeth Williams. She is a sexual health and rights advocate. She's 23 years old, and she's taking it upon herself to take on sexual health and rights advocates. By the way, there are actually 2 more other people here, but everyone I've shared right now is between the age of 21 and 15 years old.
Well, I just think that this is very impressive. They are definitely change makers. Like you said, whether young, mm-hmm. whether old, it doesn't matter if you're passionate enough and you're devoted to whatever you're doing.
So for some people that don't have it al natural to just decide to take on the entire pillar of sexual rights and or ending childhood marriage, I'd like to ask of you some, what you might think are some tips towards getting to educate yourselves about social injustices that are existing. Christina, let me start with you. Do you have any tips that you can think of off the back of your mind that could help people educate themselves?
First of all, understand the situation. So ask questions. It's okay if you sound like a bimbo. It's okay if you sound super dumb. You'd rather sound dumb for a minute than be educated the next, than to stay dumb. Like, that's real foolishness. So ask questions, you know, because I feel like a lot of the information is there. We live in a time of knowledge, you know, with the internet. So just asking questions and first of all, even just asking yourself, what feels wrong about the situations that I experience? You never know, it could actually be rooted in some type of racism, I don't know, sexism. So it's like just saying, actually, that's not okay. And it should not stay, you know, it shouldn't stay in that way. Let me do something about it. Because, you know, like even in terms of the girls you just mentioned, like the girl, I forgot her name, sorry. But the one I was talking about, natural hair. Just that mentality of, it's wrong, so let's do something about it, is enough for now, you know? Because I think young people don't realize that just by saying that helps create attention on the issue. Mm-hmm. Attention is a huge thing. Like, attention helps change perspectives. So if you bring light to an issue, then now change can be made and other influential figures can now start to, you know, create that change that you're looking for. But for us, it's just like, yeah, that's not right. Let's do something about it. Mm. And ask the right questions. I think that's my advice.
Athena?
I think it's really important to also stay connected. So not only stay connected to the internet, to the news, and just get as much as information as possible, but also accept it. Accept that there are different perspectives going around and you are not the only one thinking this way. So don't be afraid to voice out your opinions also. I think that's the main one for me.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here is four main points. Firstly is that we need to read. And we need to read and continue to read, plus read. Don't forget to read until you sleep.
Yeah.
Read the next day.
Pretty much.
And then secondly,
Athena. And also, I mean, you continuously have to read. It doesn't, for those that don't like to read books especially, you can even hop on your phone and start reading the news. It's fine. It's acceptable. It's all right. If you're tired of, you're not a news
person.
It's
on social media.
Yeah. We all have social media, at least most of us. So even if you are not on social media, you only have WhatsApp, we're pretty sure you have aunts, moms, parents, just like anyone sending you news. So just read. And yeah, you were saying, JC?
Yeah, that's social media is a big one for me. Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, that's like whenever. So I take these, I don't know why sabbaticals coming into my mind. I take these sabbaticals from social media where I'm not on social media for some time. And whenever I'm off, I just feel like I'm so off of this, like my finger's not on the pulse. Everyone is telling me about new things that I know I'd have heard of if I was on social media. So anyway, what the point is there is it probably helps to follow not just your homies that post the fire pictures on social media, but the media, the outlets of verifiable and good news on social media, because that's going to let you step in there a little more of understanding social issues, etc., if you're following the right people. So another way, in light of that, is this yep. my like other addition somewhat, is documentaries. I feel documentaries are so good. Like, American documentaries that are good. Ava DuVernay's documentaries. She's the one that did When They See Us. Super popular. That blew up about the incarceration of four teenagers that basically weren't meant to be.
True.
And that's just an example of some social issues that was done. Ava DuVernay, honestly, she's not African, but the stuff she does is brilliant. Watching her stuff would be great. An African one, there's one called Democrats. Democrats goes into the corruption of African countries. So that's cool. Like you get to understand a little bit about the corruption that's going on in Africa. And corruption trickles into so much. Just with that alone, you're learning so much about so things that are going wrong socially. And then Christina alluded to this a bit, is speaking to minority people. And this way you get to kind of go into the real world, opposed to just seeing the social media and the internet, potentially trying to sift through the propaganda. So speaking to actual people that are facing actual challenges is also a good way. And then lastly, you know, this one, take it with a little bit of wisdom, is joining movements, joining protests, also giving you a chance to step into the real world, gain an experience of where you can, of how people are experiencing these things firsthand. I know America does a good job of protests. We tend to get a little bit too riled up in the movement. But yeah, I feel as though just being someone that tries their best to more so filter through and truly understand, practice some empathy of some of these issues that are not
empathy.
That are not only issues you're facing, but issues that other people are facing too. Christina, you have a little last thing?
Yeah, I think for me, like, you guys have covered most of it. I think being woke is also about being very intentional, you know? The little things add up, just like you said, JC, just by following, let's say, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, that's a little action, but just by giving yourself access to that kind of information, you're helping yourself understand some of these concepts that affect you. All these things affect everyone in different ways, but they affect everyone. So I think it's just being intentional and just caring, like being empathetic and trying to understand why things are the way they are.
So just filter through, take your own time to gain clean and pure knowledge and information from these outlets.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In general. So
I just think that there's not one way to be woke. Okay. I think we should just get it out there.
Yeah, definitely.
If you believe something, that's your belief. If you don't believe it, that's also your belief. But you should be able to learn and accept that it's there. It's still existing. Don't be ignorant.
All right. Thank you for listening. Please continue to give us feedback. Your feedback is going to be our fuel. And it's going to help us set sail on this journey in discovering and establishing Mindshack as a podcast. So thank you very much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram for any of our newly updated podcast episode information. And that is at mind_shack_. Peace.